I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on a very cold Monday morning, February the 5th, and it's time to warm up with our State Capitol Report, a new weekly feature on this program. Every Monday during the 7 o'clock hour, we get up to date on the legislation making its way through the legislative process. We talk about issues that are being proposed, bills that are in the hopper, bills that are being signed into law, and whatever else is buzzing under the Capitol Dome. Our number for your questions, for your participation, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We'll talk some this hour about the identity theft scare that some state lawmakers are experiencing and what might result from that. We'll talk about the newly signed ethics reform law. And we'll talk about what other issues are likely to see some action this week and get more reaction to what people are saying about the governor's state of the state, delivered last week, of course, where those proposals are going from here. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest, as usual at this time, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Sean, it says here you were supposed to be in the studio. Did your car not start?
That was a mix-up, I guess. I didn't realize I was in the studio today.
Oh, so your car did start.
As far as I know, the car's good.
Okay, it is very, very cold out there. I was off on Thursday and Friday, thanks to Jean Purcell, by the way, for filling in for me. But I caught your report that Governor Doyle signed the ethics reform bill into law on Friday.
Yeah, it's been probably about a month since lawmakers and the governor came together and said, we've got an agreement in principle, and now they've got one in writing. The governor posed with a lot of those same legislative leaders on Friday at the executive residence and signed a bill that will create this new government accountability board to enforce Wisconsin's ethics and elections laws, especially, the laws that pertain to lawmakers and public officials, really.
Yeah. So is everybody happy with this?
No. Anytime you have a compromise, I think there's going to be people who aren't 100% happy. There were people who strongly criticized this bill, for example, when it came up for a vote on the assembly floor, but ended up voting for it anyway, just because in total, they backed the entire idea. I think the part of the plan that, or one of the parts of the plan that some people don't care for is the provision that would take criminal cases against lawmakers, and instead of trying them where they occur, which in many cases is Dane County, it would try them in their home counties. Some people feel like that may be unconstitutional and that it gives a special privilege to lawmakers since you don't do that for any other crimes. But that was left in the bill. What was taken out is this provision that would have killed the entire bill if any piece of it sounded unconstitutional. So that's why you were able to find compromise on this.
So if it's unconstitutional to try the lawmaker in his or her home district, the entire thing's not going to be thrown out.
Right. The idea is that piece of the bill would be thrown out, and presumably it would go back to the way things were previously.
Yeah. So what's the point behind this home district thing? Thinking that lawmakers will get a fairer shake in their home district as opposed to a Dane County DA?
The way that they describe it, and I think they kind of put a note in there so that if a court looks at this in the future, they'll have this drafter's note. The idea behind it is that you're tried by the peers who sent you to Madison. These are the people that elected you. They should be the ones who sit in judgment of you. But the practical effect, I guess, is it makes the bill a little bit more palatable for Republicans, because right now a Republican lawmaker would get tried in Dane County, where the district attorney is invariably a Democrat. That's not something that they brought up in the drafting of the proposal, but it's kind of a political reality.
Yeah. So what's the next step with this? This panel has to be formed, and when does this happen?
Yeah, I believe it's I want to say it's July, where the Ethics and Elections Boards will be phased out in their current form. And yeah, we've got to form this new panel. I believe there's a nonpartisan panel that gets set up to pick judges that sit on this panel. So you have to go through all those steps, and then they'll have the opportunity to review a number of the decisions that the elections and ethics boards have made over several years and decide whether those should still be the going policy.
Mm. Well, we'll talk a bit more on where we go from here after the ethics reform bill. We'll also get some reaction to the ethics reform bill from an additional guest from a government watchdog group, Mike McCabe, joining us in just a few minutes. And we'll continue talking to Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about other happenings under the Capitol Dome during this, our new regular feature, the State Capitol Report, every Monday after 7 o'clock. And we welcome your questions about issues before state government that you're wondering about. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Besides ethics reform, we'll talk some about campaign finance reform, and we'll talk some about what lawmakers are saying now about Governor Doyle's State of the State address and the reforms that he wants to see, the proposals that he made. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. A much-anticipated international report released on Friday confirms and details the urgency of climate change and the impact of human activity. After 4, Ben will talk with one of the panel's lead authors. That's coming up at 4 this afternoon. This is the State Capitol Report, the time each week, every Monday during this 7 o'clock hour, when we talk about what's going on under the State Capitol Dome. Legislation recently signed into law, legislation that's being introduced or debated, and talking about the issues that could mean something to you. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Sean Johnson is our guest. He is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Sean just telling us about Governor Doyle signing into law on Friday the ethics reform bill. So now it's a law. Joining us now for a few minutes just to react to that and to talk about what else might be needed in terms of government reforms is Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Good morning.
Good morning.
So do you like this ethics reform bill that the governor signed into law on Friday?
Oh, it's not perfect. It's not exactly the bill that I would write if I could do it all alone, but it's a product of compromise, and it is a very important step. It creates a politically independent enforcement agency that answers to a nonpartisan board. It has an unlimited budget for investigations. Those are some very, very important steps, but I think it's important to realize that this is just a first step. And the laws that this agency is to enforce have had some pretty big holes blown in them, and unless those laws are fixed, this agency won't do as much as I think we all hope it will be able to do. So this has to go hand in hand with things like campaign finance reform and lobbying reform to really make a big difference.
Yeah, so that's what you mean, that these laws have had holes blown into them? It's the campaign finance laws that we have?
Well, yeah, we've got campaign finance laws that used to be some of the strongest in the nation, and now they're many of them are not worth the paper they're written on because loopholes have been found, and over the years those laws have been weakened, and you could drive a Mack truck through some of the holes in these laws, and in fact these special interest groups are doing that. Campaign contribution limits don't mean much anymore. Disclosure laws are easily circumvented. Those laws need to be fixed if we're really going to get to the root of what has caused political corruption in our state.
The governor, in his State of the State address last week, did call for meaningful campaign finance reform and specifically said, let's do away with these phony issue ads. Are you and the governor on the same page here?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think what pleases me even more than what the governor says is what the governor has been doing. He's putting money in the budget for campaign finance reform. He has talked about using the same sort of process, the same sort of negotiations that yielded this agreement on ethics reform, try to replicate that for campaign finance reform. He's even talked to us about the possibility of calling the legislature into special session in September. Now, I personally think the legislature should move even faster than that. I think what pleases me is that the governor has actually done some things that he wouldn't do in his first term. He's called the legislature into special session. He's sat down with legislative leaders and negotiated an agreement on ethics reform. That's what we were not seeing last term. That's a very good start, and those actions speak much louder than the words that were uttered during the State of the State address.
Mm-hmm. What money is needed for campaign finance reform?
Well, if you're going to have a system where you've got meaningful spending limits, those spending limits can only pass court muster if they're attached to at least some degree of public financing of state election campaigns. And so if we're going to get these campaigns under control and get the arms race arrested, then there's got to be some element of public financing of state election campaigns, and there needs to be money for that. It's not a lot. I mean, when you're talking about a $50 billion state budget, you're talking about a few million dollars for campaign finance reform, and I think it would be money very well spent to eliminate this system where big donors are being rewarded with tax breaks and pork barrel spending projects and state contracts.
Yeah. So step one, the ethics reform bill, now law, accomplished. Steps two and three are fix the campaign finance and lobbying laws?
Yeah. Well, I think you know, fixing disclosure of campaign finance is a big step, and then getting even beyond that and going after the money and dealing with the money that's polluting our campaigns, and doing something about lobbying as well, because that's where money is polluting the process as well, is how it's able to influence lawmakers once they're elected and they start doing the people's business at the Capitol.
Yeah, are you confident that should this be accomplished, that the people will be confident in their legislative and political leaders?
Well, I think this is a part of the process of repair that has to occur. People have lost confidence that their public officials are representing them and not just the lobbyists and the special interests. That faith has been badly shaken, and I think repairing that means things like ethics reform and campaign finance reform and lobbying reform that is authentic, that people can look at and say, you know, that really puts us back in the driver's seat as voters and as citizens. And once those sorts of reforms are done, I think that people will have the kind of confidence that you have to have in a democratic society. You can't have a democracy unless you've got people who are willing to trust that their elected representatives are, in fact, representing them.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Mike McCabe, anything else that you're keeping an eye on under the Capitol Dome that we haven't talked about that you think is important to all of us?
Well, you know, I think one other issue that needs attention is the way legislative districts are drawn. Mm-hmm. And you know, that we're going to be approaching the next census in the not-too-distant future. And the way legislative districts have been drawn in the past leave us a system where we have much less competitive elections than we ought to have. The districts are drawn in very lopsided ways to favor whether it's a Democrat in office or a Republican in a state legislative office. We need an independent, fair way to draw those districts so that voters have a better chance of having the kind of person in office that they really want.
Mike McCabe, thanks a lot for giving us some of your time this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Joy.
And stay warm. Mike McCabe, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, reacting to the new law that is on the books in Wisconsin for ethics reform, the one that creates a government accountability board, and also talking with us about other reforms that he thinks are needed, including campaign finance reform and lobbying reform. And we just heard that he would like to see us change the way that our legislative districts are drawn. We will continue talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, and with you about issues going on under the Capitol Dome that are important to you if you want an update on legislation or an issue. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Sean, you're still on the line with us, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so we heard from Mike McCabe saying that he's on the same page with the governor, but wishing this was sooner, not September. It looks like these various issues will be maybe taken up in September and not this spring?
Yeah, it looks like the governor wants to get the budget taken care of first and then bring them up, and that's something that he mentioned shortly after he was reelected, that he would like to put money in the budget for campaign finance reform. But as far as the structure of it, take that later this fall. And if that's what the governor wants, it's more than likely, you're not going to see too much movement on that sooner. His office was really one of the initiators on getting this ethics bill passed, so they sort of set the tone in those negotiations, and you'd expect they might do that in something like this, too.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that happened when I was taking a couple of days off on Thursday and Friday, I heard that a legislative staffer took some work home with her but decided to stop at her health club on the way home. She had her locker broken into at the health club, her keys taken, and a bag of stuff taken from her vehicle. And now this might not make the news, statewide news, except for what was in that bag. Sean, talk about what was in that bag that was stolen from her vehicle.
You had social security numbers, personal information of a number of employees of the legislature, including several lawmakers themselves. I think there were 109 employees of the legislature, about a third of them lawmakers, who had their identity stolen in sort of its purest form. And among them was the legislature's leading privacy advocate, Representative Marlon Schneider.
I couldn't believe that. Of all social security numbers, you don't want to lose.
Of all people, somebody who's pushed privacy measures, every year and has been in the legislature longer than anyone, kind of confirmed his worst fears, and also the assembly speaker. So it's definitely on people's radars.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about this when we get back from checking the news, but everybody's talking about some sort of changes to prevent this from ever happening again?
Yeah, whether that be an executive order by the governor saying you can't take this type of information out of the building, or just more specific proposals or specific guidelines in the assembly on what employees can or cannot do. It seems like this is a targeted area, though. I mean, that they need to crack down on the assembly and then the Senate policies. Is not necessarily something where you'd see a change statewide because of this.
We are talking about issues making news in the state capitol, the state capitol building, in our weekly state capitol report with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. And we welcome your thoughts, your questions, questions and concerns about issues facing state government, issues that you think ought to be taken up by the legislature, issues that are currently being debated by your lawmakers. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We'll talk more about this identity theft issue after the news. We'll also talk about some other issues that the governor highlighted in his State of the State address, including the Wisconsin Covenant Program and more money for financial aid. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio at 7:36 on this bitterly cold Monday morning, February the 5th. And we are talking about news from under the state capitol dome. It's our weekly state capitol report with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. And with you, are there any issues of concern to you, any issues that you'd like an update on? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, state issues, that is. We are talking about the governor last week signing into law the ethics reform bill. It's now a law, talking some about an identity theft scare that state lawmakers are experiencing right now. Here's Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch, in fact, reacting to The news that a state legislative staffer took some work home with her last week. She made a stop at her health club before going home. Her keys were stolen from her locker, and then a bag of stuff was then stolen from her car. And that bag of stuff from her car contained some very private information of a bunch of legislative workers, state lawmakers, including perhaps the legislature's foremost privacy advocate, Marlon Schneider, social security numbers and the like, now in the hands of some thief who was making the rounds at this health club parking lot. Here's Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch reacting to that.
As far as I know, and what I learned just this week, is that there was no policy regarding personal information being removed from the workplace. That is obviously, as I said, an issue now that has risen to the top. As a new speaker, I'm finding all the different things that you have to oversee, and this is one now that is obviously rising to the top. To suggest that this is the first time that this information is left would be ridiculous. It's obviously been out there for many years. People are able to work at home, and they do it. The unfortunate situation is that this one is going to come to light because there was a high-profile theft. We are going to establish a policy to prevent this in the future.
Yeah. So that was Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch, again, talking about some sort of policy to prevent this sort of thing from happening again. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, joins us once again. And, Sean, that would just be some sort of policy that says don't take Social Security numbers home with you, right?
Presumably. Mm-hmm. You know, no telling what the policy is until you see it. But what it could end up doing, though, I mentioned before the break that this would be something that was very targeted and very specific to legislative employees. But it could end up opening lawmakers' eyes to identity theft on a larger scale when it happens to them. And you've already seen one state senator call for an audit that looks at how private information is handled by the state on a variety of levels.
Yeah, talk about that. That's State Senator Ted Kanivas.
Yeah, and he wants the Legislative Audit Bureau to look at a few things, the practices for working with third-party contractors when you deal with personal information.
Now, this stems from that incident where a printer printed the Social Security numbers of taxpayers on the taxpayer books that were mailed to them.
Right. There were about 170,000 people who were affected, and there's basically no reason for your Social Security number to be out on the cover of your booklet. And I think from what came out, there was no reason for this contractor to have that information in the first place, but it was given to them, and it was put on these booklets by mistake. A number of the booklets were retrieved before any harm was done. But others went out, and so now the state's in a position where it has to help cover the cost of credit monitoring for some people.
Yeah, he wants this audit to kind of look at what these procedures are, because he can't figure out why the printer needed the Social Security numbers of the taxpayers.
Right, that, and yeah. He also wants to look at the oversight of employees who handle personal information like this, policies for notifying people when their personal information has been stolen, the state's policies for posting stuff on the web. And Assembly Speaker Hipsch, who you just heard there, is kind of the mindset that government is generally the leaking sieve when it comes to information, that the private sector has done a pretty good job of protecting people's personal information, but the government's where you need some work, and so that would seem to tie in with what Senator Kanivas is calling for here.
Yeah. Adele in Mazomeni joins us. Hi, Adele, you're on the air.
Good morning. I work for the state, and I wanted to know if there's a way to prevent companies that do business with the state to stop using the state employees' Social Security number as an ID number. Everybody right now is using the last four digit as an identification. You get a check back from an insurance company. The first few numbers are blocked, but then the last four digits are there. And I want to know if there is a way to enforce that, similar to Michigan, where they don't allow companies doing business with the state to use the Social Security numbers and issue identification numbers. I'll take your comments up there. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Adele. Are you familiar with
I believe that's what the state's talking about moving toward, and especially when you consider that in this case they didn't need to hand out the Social Security numbers to the private vendor. So, yeah, I mean, that's one thing that's been discussed is the possibility of keeping information private.
Yeah. So there could be future legislation that would somehow, not just this audit, but some sort of legislation that would say companies that do business with the state of Wisconsin cannot use Social Security numbers for identification purposes?
Yeah, this is the type of issue where you could see a whole host of legislation come forward this session, because not only are there thousands of lawmakers' constituents who were affected, but now many of them have been affected as well. So it's the type of issue that kind of spurs their attention, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's funny. Because, I shouldn't say it's funny. I mean, I feel sorry for the legislators and other state government workers that had their Social Security numbers stolen from them, but it almost took something like this to maybe really put a fire under everybody's butt, huh?
Yeah, it'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says here, State Senator Ted Kanivas, I'm looking at a news release that he issued late last week. The audit will provide the baseline information I will use to draft legislation safeguarding private information. It is clear to me that appropriate policies are not in place at the state level, and members of the legislature must step in to protect our constituents. So this legislator is saying this is a problem with residents all over the state, and safeguards have to be put in place.
And he's in the minority party in the Senate right now, but on something like this, probably doesn't matter too much. You're not going to find many people that oppose that type of thinking, I think, at this point.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, State Capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our State Capitol Report when we're talking about news that is making headlines from under the state Capitol dome, talking about issues that are in the hopper, issues that are being debated, issues that are likely to come up this week. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your introduction of an issue. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 14 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we will welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Phil Corvo, and Wisconsin Public Radio's assistant director of talk programming, Cheryl Gasser. And we'll talk about talk programming with our first Monday of the month with Phil Corvo coming up after 8 o'clock. This is our State Capitol Report, a new feature on this program every Monday after 7 o'clock. We welcome in Sean Johnson and some other guests. Sean is a Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and we kind of review what's going on at the State Capitol. Laws recently signed into law, bills that are being introduced, hearings that will be taking place, debates that are likely to happen. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. The next thing I wanted to talk about, Sean, is it says here that lawmakers may hold a public hearing regarding that controversy over sick leave for lawmakers and public officials sometime this week?
Yeah, and that's lawmakers get a benefit where they can accumulate unused sick leave. But something that the Journal Sentinel uncovered in an investigative series they did was that nobody's taking it. I mean, if you go by their records, only a couple lawmakers got sick in recent years. So there's a proposal at the Capitol that would put an end to that sick leave. And as it pertains to lawmakers, officials like the governor and Supreme Court justices.
So, there are lawmakers who say, let's get rid of this sick leave benefit altogether. We get paid whether we're sick or not. We don't need this. But others saying, this is a part of the retirement package and we're entitled to this. As long as it's reported accurately, we should keep it. So there's another side to that too, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of where the governor's coming from is, we should change the way that it's reported so that when you're sick, it gets recorded. But there's no reason to get rid of this. It's an important retirement benefit for them.
Yeah. So what's your crystal ball tell you is going to happen on this?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about the crystal ball. I think whenever the governor makes a statement like that, and he has a Democratic majority in the state Senate, he certainly has better chances of getting his way this session, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So if it's something that he believes we just need better reporting on, you know, that will be another way that you'll see this problem attacked.
Well, I know that gets people riled up when they think a public official is somehow taking advantage of the system, so it'll be interesting to watch that. The Board of Regents meeting later this week, and that controversial change in the admissions policy is going to be taken up by the Board of Regents, right?
Right. They were going to vote on that at their last meeting, but decided that they would hold off and hold a public forum to gather people's input on the policy. They did that. They heard from a lot of people who said, you know, we like your policy. We like this idea of considering all factors when you look at enrollment, not just looking at somebody's strictly looking at somebody's academic performance, but also looking at the quality of courses you take, your extracurricular activities, and then the controversial elements of their policy. They sometimes look at someone's race when they admit mm-hmm. them to college.
Mm-hmm. And there are some state lawmakers. I spoke with one of them last week, Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman, who is not happy with the idea of considering race when you're considering admissions to the UW. And other lawmakers, mainly Republicans, I guess, feel the same way. Is this likely to cause a big rift between the UW and Republicans in the state legislature?
There's already been a pretty good ongoing rift between mm-hmm. Several Republican lawmakers and the UW. This is sort of another chapter in that ongoing story. What Republican lawmakers can do about it this session remains to be seen, given that they only control the assembly and their margins aren't huge in that chamber. I think Senator Grothman threw out the idea of maybe, was it Senator Grothman or Representative Nass threw out the idea of some type of referendum?
Mm-hmm. The Nass, I know, proposed possibly a constitutional amendment that would forbid the consideration of race, similar to what I believe Michigan did.
Right. Getting that on the ballot, though, it's no easy task in Wisconsin. You have to have both chambers of the legislature approve it in two consecutive sessions, so that's not a quick and easy process here. And I know Senator Grothman mentioned the possibility of sort of tightening the purse strings on the UW mm-hmm. and not funding these positions or programs that look at race. But that, you know, again, that's going to be a challenge, especially when the governor is talking about spending more on the UW.
Yeah, speaking of which, let's play a clip of the governor talking about more money in the budget, more money that he wants to see to help people pay for pay for tuition, financial aid.
A significant commitment to increase funding for financial aid is a very, very good investment. And if it means other things in the budget don't get all that they would have liked to have gotten, and we have to cut in some other areas and to make sure the budget's balanced in the end, that's what we have to do. But shouldn't be anybody a surprise to anybody. I ran on this. I've talked about it for years, that substantial commitment and increase in financial aids is about as smart of investment as we could make.
And that, Sean, would be a part of that $225 million that the governor proposed in his State of the State for the UW system?
Right, an increase of $225 million over the next couple years. And the financial aid he's talking about there would be to prepare for the Wisconsin covenant that mm-hmm. he called for in the last couple state of the state addresses, actually. And the idea behind the Wisconsin covenant is an eighth grader can sign a pledge to do well in high school. I think keep a B average and stay out of trouble. As long as they hold up their end of the bargain, the state will come through with a financial aid package. So, you know, it sounds nice, but it's sort of meaningless unless you provide that financial aid. And so that's what the governor's going to talk about in his budget address next week.
Yeah. You collected that actuality or that that clip from Governor Doyle. He made that after the State of the State, correct?
Yeah, he was. He made that actually at the same press conference where he signed the ethics bill last Friday. That was at the executive residence, and he basically made the comments in response to a question of, well, what's going to get cut in order for you to pay for this? And it's that there was the governor there saying that we're going to lay out priorities. This is going to be one of them.
Yeah. Well, we did do a lot of coverage the day after the State of the State address with legislative leaders and party leaders and other advocates of various issues reacting to what the governor had to say. But I'm wondering now there's been a little bit more time. What appears to be the, I don't know, the winners of the State of the State and maybe the losers? Any further reaction from lawmakers on any of these issues, Sean?
Well, I'd say just the overall, the biggest ideas that came out of that speech are the governor's proposal to offer health insurance to more residents or make it available to almost all residents through the expansion of the state's Badger Care program. And, you know, also it wasn't a fresh idea that came out right in that speech, but his support of a tobacco tax increase to help pay for Medicaid. I think that's what you're going to see driving the debate at the Capitol this year, because those are big money proposals, and those are always going to be kind of looming in the background as lawmakers debate the budget over the next several months.
Yeah. Let me get your reaction to something a guest told me the day after the State of the State, that he saw a compromise in the works with, for instance, the Badger Care program, that that maybe some Republicans in the legislature aren't really wild about expanding government-run health programs, but they'll give, especially if maybe the governor will give on his the tax credit for private health savings accounts, and so there'll be a little give and take on these.
Yeah, you know, and it's really it's kind of tough to read at this point where there is room for compromise at the Capitol. You know, a year ago, I could have told you with some confidence that those ideas aren't going to go anywhere, because you had there was just a different atmosphere at the Capitol, for one thing. You had strong Republican majorities, and you had a different leader in the Assembly who just often wasn't open to the idea of compromise the way that the current Assembly Speaker seems to be. So it's kind of hard to see where some of these things are going to go. But I did hear the governor on public television on Friday night talking about the idea of compromise, and he says, hey, you know, if I get 95% of what I want, I'm not going to complain, basically. So I think everybody's open to looking at these proposals.
Yeah. I saw a poll came out late last week. I'm afraid I don't recall who did the poll, but it was showing a majority of Wisconsin residents supporting a $1 increase in the cigarette tax. So apparently, at least for a dollar increase of the cigarette tax, not the $1.25 that the governor proposed, has the support of most of the public?
Yeah, we'll see how it does in the state assembly, really. I think the Democratic State Senate is probably going to back what the governor proposes, but we'll see how much room for compromise there is in the Republican-controlled state assembly. So far, they've kind of taken the approach that we don't need more taxes in Wisconsin, and that this is a tax, and the governor ran on no taxes to balance the budget, and we shouldn't be changing that now.
Yeah. Well, we just got a couple of minutes left here in this edition of the State Capitol Report. Any other issues that are likely to be hopping around the State Capitol this week? We talked about the hearing on the sick leave policy, the UW Board of Regents likely talking about the new admissions policy. Anything else?
You know, You're really sort of in this lull at the Capitol right now between the State of the State address, which is which was by most accounts a big ideas address this year, where the governor sort of cheerleads for the state of Wisconsin and says, here's what I really want to get done, and the budget address, where the governor gets into more specifics and says, okay, here's how we're going to pay for it. And people are just kind of, as soon as the speech was over last week, it kind of begged the question, how are you going to afford all this? Mm-hmm. And so I think people are just kind of waiting right now to hear specifics on some of these proposals, to hear about whether there are some pots of money that are going to be used at the state level to pay for some of these new things, what's going to be cut. Mm-hmm. That's just sort of in the back of everybody's mind right at this point.
And we'll certainly know more on February 13th when the governor gives his state budget address. And you, Sean, and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg will be co-anchoring that coverage for that address. Is it a 7 p.m. Address?
That's right.
We'll listen for you then and talk to you next week. Thanks a lot, Sean.
Great. Thanks, Joy.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. Giving us the lowdown on the latest from the state capitol. Issues facing state government. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come, and I hope that you will check out our website for all of our talk shows that are archived there. You can listen to them at your convenience, WPR.org. By the way, coming up tomorrow at this time, we'll welcome in the author of The Walmart Effect. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.